welcome to this edition of the Fireside Bookshelf. Join our host Ginger Green as she opens doors to the literary world, both past and present, featuring some of the best Christian books pertinent to believers and their pursuit of biblical truth. Each week, she will discuss selected resources which have touched her heart and life, with a hope they will enhance your study of the Scriptures and encourage you in your spiritual walk. From foundational Christian truths, to marriage and parenting, to understanding the times we live in, Ginger has assembled some amazing Christian authors, and each week we'll explore their works, all designed to help us grow in grace and knowledge in Jesus Christ. And now for today's presentation.
There's nothing more precious than a child. First-time parents especially are filled with such excitement and trepidation as they load their little one into a car seat for the very first time. Get into the car, close the door, look at each other, and ask, "Are we really ready for this?" Children generally don't come with an instruction manual, and there is nothing more taxing nor more rewarding than parenthood. Kelly and I were fortunate that by the time our first child was born, we had had the opportunity to sit in on several of my father's classes on child training. So as we began to prepare for this monumental change in our lives, I went to my father and asked him, besides the Bible, what resources had he used in preparing for his child training classes? One of the volumes he recommended was What the Bible Says About Child Training by Richard Fugate. So come be a part as we seek out the biblical truth on child training. It is noted in the introduction of this book that What the Bible Says About Child Training is unique in that the subject is handled solely upon the biblical viewpoint. The author accepts the Bible as absolute truth and infinitely superior to any human system of thinking. There has been no attempt to modify God's Word to make it more compatible with human philosophies, psychology, sociology, religious views, or public opinion. God's Word is accepted as is without human adulteration. The Bible is also accepted as living and powerful information that is as relevant today as in the day it was first revealed. Now, I will tell you up front that this seems to be one of those books that people either love or hate. In looking at many of the reviews, there doesn't seem to be a lot of middle ground for people. One of the things that must be established is this. If the Word of God is not the final authority in your life, you're probably not going to like this book. The author even provides a section on why he absolutely accepts the Bible as the best source of information for man and all aspects of his life. Richard even asks that every reader should read and study that section before beginning the main body of his book. Why is this so important? Because if you do not fully trust and rely on God's Word, some of the principles outlined will be difficult to accept. Yet the reason I believe that the biblical view on this topic is so vital today is clearly outlined within the pages of this work. It states, "The need for clear guidelines for parents to be successful in child training is dramatically evident in our society today. Many parents have virtually no control over their own children. This lack of control is evident in many ways, such as the flagrant disrespect shown by even very young children, intense parental frustration, and the inability for even Christian parents to train their children into young adults who accept their parents' standards as their own." But Fugate has even a deeper motivation for penning this book. He writes, "Beyond the purpose of this book, to produce successful parents, is the hope to save our nation. God intends for mankind to live in harmony within a national entity, under law, in marriage, and in working and business relationships. When parents fail in properly training their children, every other institution within that national entity disintegrates, and eventually the nation itself is destroyed. Looking around at the state of our union today, the extreme divisiveness, the oversensitivity, the idea that culture and not character is what defines us as a person, are proof enough of Fugate's prophetic words." It is noted that the author's prayer is that this book may begin a return to God's Word for the information that will enable mankind to find God's purpose for life. Fugate acknowledges, "Being a parent today is a difficult and often bewildering challenge. There are so many conflicting theories about child training that even reputed experts disagree with each other. There also exist certain advocates of the theory that parental use of physical discipline constitutes child abuse. This theory causes some parents to question their right to discipline their own children. Then there are those, often from the religious community, with a confused view of love who equate love with permissiveness. It is no surprise that such confusion about child rearing exists," Fugate emphasizes. About the only thing the reputed experts do agree upon is this. There is no set pattern for training children. As a result, many parents have developed their own system of raising children. Such a system probably contains elements of behavior modification and permissiveness mixed with the use of force when all else fails. The important question is, how do parents know when their own system is correct? As a parent, you only have one chance with each child. You spend a major part of your life raising a child, and all that effort can seem painfully wasted unless there are positive results. What is the answer? Is there a system for child training that you can be sure is correct and can utilize to obtain the right results? What the Bible says about child training is a logical presentation of the systematic procedures found in God's Word that can be utilized by parents in first controlling their children and then teaching them to reach God's intended objective. So, if you accept the premise we laid out earlier that the Word of God does provide all the necessary guidelines for all areas of life, then you know that God has provided information in the Bible that parents need in order to train their children. God's Word also promises that those parents who follow this truth will receive a blessing, while those parents who do not will receive cursing. Parents can experience true happiness in receiving the promises of God's Word when their children have been well trained. The first part of Proverbs 10:1 tells us, "A wise son makes a glad father." And Proverbs 29:17 says, "Correct your son, and he will give you rest. Yes, he will be the delight of your soul." Fugate affirms, God's word often contrasts wisdom with foolishness. One who acts wisely is the one who utilizes truth in living, while the fool is one who goes his own way in ignorance or in rebellion. The present condition in our civilization demonstrates how far culture has deviated from the truth of God's word. The Bible is not unrealistic. We are merely reaping the results from man's failure to utilize God's truth. Parents who resort to a human system of child training will miss the blessings promised by God and receive instead the natural consequences for ignorance of or disobedience to God's truth. The second part of Proverbs 10:1 tells us, "But a foolish son is the grief of his mother." Proverbs 29:15 says, "The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself bring shame to his mother." Proverbs provides a very clear description of what parents will experience if they succeed or fail in training their children. Fugate affirms, many thousands of parents today are observing the failures of their grown children with this kind of sorrow in their hearts. Perhaps nothing fosters more grief than good moral parents seeing their children rebel against everything for which those parents stand. For those of you who have already experienced this sadness with your grown children, we sorrow with you. This book has been written to assist parents in avoiding the pain you suffer. However, there is a section in the book entitled Hope for the Failing Parent that will be of some comfort to you. Training children is not a hit-or-miss proposition in which parents have no control, Fugate reminds us. Properly training a child is the maximum expression of true love that a parent can give their child. No amount of material benefits parents could ever give children can take the place of actually caring enough for them to train them. If you really love your children, train them. Then both the parents and the children will receive the blessings that are promised by God. Now, Fugate breaks down the book into five sections: the parent, the child, training your child, controlling your child, and teaching your child. So let's begin with the parent. The fact that God has entrusted you with His creation, Fugate declares, makes you accountable to God for this gift of life. God, as a responsible creator, has a purpose and a plan for everything He creates. In Psalms 127:3, we are told, "Behold, children are the heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." God has a plan and a purpose for each child, and each child is life from God that is placed in a specific family as part of that plan. God has set children under their parents' control for approximately one-third of their life. Unlike animals that raise their young only for a few months, children are dependent on their parents for extensive training. Animals need to receive training only for physical existence, but a child requires training for his soul. Parents are responsible to train their children according to God's standards. Deuteronomy chapter 6, 6 through 7 states, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and rise up." Ephesians 6, 4 tells us, "And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." And finally, Proverbs 22, 6 says, "Train up your child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Fugate indicates training requires that you teach and that the teaching is accepted. Before your child will receive your instructions, he must first honor your position. And Ephesians chapter 6, 1 through 2 tells us, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth." Children are commanded to honor both their father and mother. Parents may not consider themselves worthy of honor, but they still hold the God-given position of ruler over their children. They may feel themselves undereducated or unsuccessful in every other area of their life, but as parents, they are to be respected. They have the right to rule because God has given that right to parents. As a parent, you answer directly to God. You need to know the areas of your accountability, the boundaries of your rulership, and how to properly handle your responsibilities. Fugate outlines very clearly, God has established the institution of the parent as one of his ruling authorities on earth. To this position has been delegated both the right to rule children and all the power necessary to succeed in training children according to God's plan. It is through this position that each child is to receive protection, direction, and instruction. Whomever God has placed in the position of being a parent is accountable directly to God on how he or she rules. This position can be occupied by the natural parents, by a remaining single parent, or by whoever else God has placed there, such as a relative, guardian, adoptee, step-parent, or foster parent. Because of the God-granted parental authority, parents have the right to set their will above that of their children and to command them to follow their rulership. They also have the power to administer justice and to punish for disobedience or to reward for conformance to their commands. Colossians 3:28 says, "Children, obey your parents in all things." Now, you may never have considered yourself to be someone who has the right to create law, but as far as your child is concerned, your word is law. If your child is disobedient to your word, they have broken the law you have set before them. Throughout the scriptures, we see that God is very serious about children being obedient, but parental authority is not without restraint. As a human authority, you will make many mistakes, even if you desire to be right and just. These mistakes can come from ignorance, from not knowing how to deal with children, or they can be a result of sin. An authority does not have to be perfect in his rulership. Do not allow the fact that you are human and subject to error cause you to neglect meeting your responsibility. God knew you were imperfect when he gave you a child. The recognition of this fact should make you more dependent on him, not cause you to avoid the responsibility. This may be the first time you have realized that you are and have the right to be the ruler over your children, acknowledges Fugate. Your children need to know that you are in charge. This means that you make the decisions, not the children. You are to decide when it is time for bed, what is to be eaten or not eaten, what activities are permitted. These decisions belong to the parent until the child has been trained to make the right decisions for himself. Contrary to the popularly accepted teaching of child psychology, your child needs a leader, not a pal, a buddy, big sister, or big brother. Parents are authority figures and therefore cannot be pals or buddies with the child, who must be obedient to their rule. If parents rule well, when their child is grown up, there can be a lifetime of friendship between them and the grown child. Parenting is tremendously difficult, and there are times as parents when we have failed to train our children properly that we often try to find something to blame for the negative influence on them. However, God holds only the parent accountable for training the children. Therefore, it is the parent's responsibility to control what influences their children. In the times my husband and I grew up in, I think it was a bit easier for parents to monitor those outside influences. There was usually only one phone in the house, and friends, or potential dates, had to get past my parents to get to me. However, The world of instant access that we now live in my opinion, requires a much more rigorous monitoring than ever before. Cell phones and social media are just a few of the ways that outside influences can bypass parents and get to our children if we are not vigilant. This is an area where my husband and I were slow to recognize at times. We thought we were doing a good job, but the pathways of influence to our children were changing in ways we never saw coming. It is imperative that in your prayers for your children, that you ask God to bring light to any hidden influences that may have escaped your notice. You cannot be everywhere, but God can. The parent must act as the child's external control until he can be taught internal controls. He is dependent on his parents to control the sinful nature which seeks to enslave him. And now a bit about the child. There are basically four stages of child development: infant, child, youth, and adult. During the infant stage, one of the central needs is for the child to develop a sense of security through the care he receives. The child stage is when most of the behavior patterns are established for life. The patterns, in respect of authority, respect for the rights of others, honesty, harmony, patience, self-control, study and work, concerns for others, and personal contentment, can all be developed during this period. Because of the formative nature of the child's mind during this stage, parents should establish and enforce rules for acceptable and unacceptable conduct. The term youth is used to describe the period between 13 and 20 years of age. During this period, the individual personality develops, personal interests and preferences emerge as the youth strives for his own identity. The need for the child to know the reasons behind the rule they are required to obey becomes extremely important. The youth reaches out for more privileges, and at the same time, his responsibilities constantly increase. He has the need to be accepted and recognized as an individual. It is a time in which the parent can be the maximum influence on his child's thinking. Depending on how the parents handle the child stage, the youth will be prepared either to accept their teaching or reject their advice, their way of life, and even them personally. The properly trained child will begin in his youth to operate on his own internal controls as he accepts the increasing responsibility and accountability for himself. A youth who is not caused to come under the control of his parents as a child will rebel more and more violently at any attempt by parents, school, or any other force to restrict his total freedom. The youth who has established his own control over the parents will increasingly exercise his dominion over them in order to satisfy his self-centered existence. The term adult is used to describe a son or daughter 20 years or older. No longer youth, the adult has come to the end of their training period. The youth who has been properly trained and is now in adulthood will continue to honor his parents, and his life will reflect target training, thereby bringing them great joy. If the parents have also earned the child's respect for their character and wisdom, they will continue to look to them for advice. Understanding the nature of a child should help parents realize the importance of their role of authority, Fugate notes. It should also help them see the child's need for training, initially by their providing the needed external control, and ultimately by teaching the child to control himself. In Part 3, Fugate begins to lay out the practical application of what child training looks like. To start off things, Fugate explains, child training is the process used by parents that will cause a child to reach the objective for which he has been trained. Training alone is just not the process of teaching. If positive results are not obtained, then training has not occurred. Parents do not train their child just by telling them what they expect. Unless the child actually arrives at the point of functioning on his own in conformity to what he's been taught, he has not been trained. Mere exposure to a good home environment is also not training. Being raised in a moral atmosphere is no guarantee, Fugate warns, that a child will catch the standards of his parents. Parents who expect the child to follow their standards by the example they set, but do not train into them, will often be shocked when the child acquires only their faults and rejects most of what is good in their lives. Christian parents can deceive themselves into thinking that simply exposing their children to the Bible's teaching through church or Christian school will eliminate the need for their personal training. Although a Bible-teaching church and a good Christian school can assist the parents, they are not replacements for the parents training their own children. If you desire for your child to become obedient and willing to accept God's standards as his own, You will have to utilize the process that God has designed to obtain these results. Biblical child training produces a quality character much different than what would have developed had the child been left alone to grow according to his own nature. God's Word commands parents specifically to train their child and to teach them God's Word. Biblical child training includes both restraining the child from following his natural inclination to sin and also teaching him the right way to live. The desired objective is for the child to learn God's Word, which then can direct him throughout his adult life. And although we have mainly discussed the proper methods for biblical training here today, Fugate does include an entire chapter about negative training. Because, as Fugate indicates, as parents, you are always training your child, even if you are not teaching them according to God's standards. For example, a child who is not trained to follow instructions properly and correctly the first time has been allowed to exert his own will over that of his authority. Consistency, I found, was always the most difficult part in child training, as I'm sure you can imagine. And while I found the chapter on negative training to be very helpful in identifying some of my parental weaknesses, it is more important to know how to train them properly. The two facets of positive child training, controlling and teaching, basically parallel the specific stages of the child's development. The control aspect of training corresponds to the child stage, up to age 13, while the teaching aspect corresponds to the youth stage, the teen years. A child must be told what to do. The youth needs to be taught why to do it. While children are in the child stage, they should be expected to follow the commands of their parents to the letter. This period of development is characterized by the child's immaturity and the need for constant restraint. It is the time for maximum external control by the parents. During the time children are in the youth stage, they still should be expected to obey their parents. However, obedience should now begin to result from willing submission rather than forced compliance. This period of development is the time when children are taught the reasons behind the laws for which they were accountable. These reasons constitute why they should or should not do something. There are a few illustrations and graphs included in Fugate's book that we found very helpful, especially in the teenage years when training our children. There were numerous times when we sat down with our kids at the kitchen table and opened Fugate's book together. My husband and I explained to our children that we would be held accountable before the Lord someday on how we raised them, and that God's purpose for child training was to eventually turn over control and authority to them for their own lives, and how smoothly that process went often depended on their attitude and response to God's design. I think it really helped them to see at times that they were not the only ones who had to answer to an authority in their lives. The final sections on controlling your child and teaching your child provide the type of practical application that my mother loves. They are filled with scripture examples, charts, illustrations, and solutions for the conflicts that make the biblical principles come alive in a very useful and real-world way. If you are in the midst of the great chaos we lovingly call parenthood, a couple wondering about that instruction manual, or someone headed to a best friend's baby shower, what the Bible really says about child training is a wonderful biblical resource to help you navigate through the scriptures and what God says in His Word about raising spiritually strong children. The book can generally be found through your local Christian bookstore or online. It is currently available in paperback, audio, and digital format. And one final note from the Fireside Bookshelf. None of the books outlined on this program are ever intended to replace the Bible and the need for immersing ourselves in God's Word on a daily basis. Remember, you should always read with discernment. We are grateful, however, to be able to benefit from the research and works of others who seek to remain faithful to biblical truth and to provide insights to help strengthen and deepen our spiritual walk, and to be able to share those resources with you.
If today's featured book has sparked your interest or addressed an area of concern for you or a friend, we hope you will consider adding a copy to your library of Christian resources. Nowadays, when busyness seems to be our business, we need to return to the lost art of reading so that we will continue learning more of God's Word and His Son, Jesus Christ, the only one who has the power to transform hearts and minds. The Fireside Bookshelf is a ministry of Sharon Hearts and can be heard on this station every Sunday at 4 p.m. Past episodes can be found anytime at www.sharonhearts.org. Thank you for joining us, and tune in next week for our next exciting feature here at the Fireside Bookshelf.